everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Chestnut Ridge Radio Club Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. Nothing heard, and that's a good thing. Let's see. Good evening, everyone. Again, this is Gordon, W2TTT, operating as K2BAR. It's another fun night with the technical net. The technical net is a little different than most other nets, and then it's really a conversation about amateur radio, computers, electronics, telecommunications, and other pursuits that we have related to our hobby, the underlying science and technology as well. So we also have the opportunity to discuss things we've done, things we aspire to do, things we hope to do again, and of course, things we never want to do again. And that's always exciting. And of course, the other component of this is that you might have an item that you want to have as a for sale swap or wanted item, and you can list that too. So we ask that you participate in the net, irrespective of whether or not you have a question, comment, for sale, swap, or wanted item, because it helps us focus the conversation to you, and we can't do that if we don't know you're if you're there. So, with no further ado, let's talk about how you get into the repeater and how you check into the net. This net is operated weekly at 9 o'clock at on a frequency of 146.955 megahertz. Offset is minus 600 kilohertz, minus 600 kilohertz. And of course, it is a it has a PL of 141.3. And it also can be accessed via Echolink at K2FoxTrot-Juliet-Lima. K2FoxTrot-Juliet-Lima. So that's another way in. Another key point is that the nets are recorded, and they're available on amateurradio.tangovictor, amateurradio.tangovictor, and you'll see right there on the main page the opportunity to check out the net and, you know, join in the party, as they say. So, with no further ado, one other point. We also have an email group. It's a Yahoo group. You don't need to have a Yahoo ID. All you have to do is have an email login of some sort. And basically, you check in. You can get either a daily package of all the email on the topics, which is not very much. It's usually once every couple of days, if the truth be known. Or you can, obviously go look at past emails and things like that, research things. We also will put files up there related to the net, which sometimes is helpful. Alrighty, so with no further ado, and tonight I'm sitting home and I don't need a logger, so I want to thank Randy for doing that last week, by the way. So tonight I'll definitely get the goodies up on the ComTech group after the net. So stations whose call signs begin with the letter November, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, indicate whether you have a question, comment, for sale, swap, or wanted item, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR.
November 8, Michael Alpha Romeo Mobile. Hello, Gordon. It's David. No questions, no comments.
Good evening, David, at 8MAR. We'll see you tomorrow night. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Any other Novembers?
November 2, Mike Hotel Mobile. No questions, no answers, no runs, no drips, no errors.
Yes, absolutely. Any other Novembers? Good evening, Mark. Hey, Alpha Stations. Okay, Kilo 2s. No, actually, all kilos. Doesn't matter.
K2GFM, Greg and Montel just listening.
Good evening, Greg. Greg. Any other kilos? Another kilo?
M4GHN, Dobbs Ferry, New York. Possible question.
Good evening, Mitch. Do you have a question or no question?
Sorry, I'm on a 1 watt HT. Possible question. This is KM4GHN.
Okay, Mark. Okay, Mitch, very good. Well, we have you down for a question. Not a problem. It will not be a big load on the net tonight, I suspect. Alrighty, any other kilos?
Kilo Delta 2, India Romeo, Yankee.
B2IRY. Good evening. Your name and your intention, sir?
Mike, also from Dobbs Ferry. Just listening, sir.
Oh, welcome from Dobbs Ferry. Very good, Mike. Thank you. Any other kilos?
Oh, 2 Echo in the Romeo. Howie in Tarrytown. None of the above.
Evening, Howie. Everybody's topic short today. All right. Doesn't mean we'll have a boring net. I've learned that. All righty. Any other kilos? All righty. How about whiskeys?
Good evening, Gordon. This is WA2UMP, Jim in Pearl River, and just listening this evening.
Good evening, Jim. Welcome aboard. Any other whiskeys?
W2JEK, Don with a comment.
A comment.
Be very good. I have Don, and there was somebody else with a comment, or was it maybe no comments, I'm not sure. Who was the station that doubled with Don?
WI2W Steve with a couple of comments.
Good evening, Steve. Sure, I got you with the town for a couple of comments. No problemo. Any other whiskeys?
Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, Randy, Washington Township with a couple of comments.
Randy, excellent. A couple of comments. Got you covered. Any other whiskeys? All I got out of that was that there was no questions, no comments, but I didn't get the call or the name. Anybody get that? Station again, please. Alrighty, I guess not. Just deal, I guess. Alrighty. Let's see. Any other whiskeys? Okay. Any call sign?
KC2 ZMA Marco. Good evening, Gordon. No questions or comments.
Marco, KC2ZMA. Not a problem. Got you. Anybody else? Alrighty. Any other stations? Alrighty. Let's get started. W2JEK, your ball. K2BAR.
And K2BAR in the net, W2JEK. Good evening, everybody. We announced that Barra will be running a VE test session Saturday, May 30th at 8 o'clock in the morning. That will be at the Washington Township, Blair Township of Washington High School, actually, Township of Washington Regional High School, 701 Ridgewood Road. As I say, the test session will begin at 8 o'clock. Test fee is $15. Kind of ID, like a photo ID, such as a driver's license or a passport. Some non-photo ID, you need two types of non-photo ID. Can you bring you? If you are licensed, please bring your license and a copy of the license. And have a license, you will need a security number. You may obtain an advance of the test session, an FRN number from the FCC. You may use a calculator. The memories cannot be stored in that memory. The calculator. Devices other than a calculator, such as a cell phone or an iPod, only have a calculator function, may not be used for security purposes. Going for the general test, remember that the general test will change as of July 1st, so we'll have one after this in the middle of June, and there will be other test sessions around, actually, so study, if you're studying, so you don't have to study the new question pool. It'll be hard. ahead and pass your general test. Back to Net W2JEK.
Okay, very good. W2JEK. KTBAR, anybody have any questions or comments for Don about licensing or the upcoming test sessions? Okay, one point is that the test sessions are listed on the Barra website. That's BARA, Bravo Alpha Romeo Alpha.org, and a lot of detailed information about the club and how to join it. And for the Chestnut Ridge Club, it's Alpine Repeater, www.alpinerepeater.com, to join that club. And in fact, we have an upcoming luncheon, now that I think about it, next Wednesday. So do consider that if you're interested in joining for the luncheon. It's at noontime lunch. It's at Nona's up here in Bergen County, and we can get you the information if you shoot me an email at w2ttt@att.net or w2ttt@att.com or both. We can send you information about both clubs and their activities, as well as the ComTech group on Yahoo Groups. Alrighty. Anything else for Anon? Alrighty. Well, I guess, Don, back to you for anything else.
Okay, one other thing. If you know anybody that has an expired license, expired beyond the 2-year grace period, get back into the ham radio when it's a general or an advanced or extra license. You have to take the current technician exam, and once they pass that, they will get credit for the general. You will get a general license. Advanced, you'll get a license because they don't do advanced licenses anymore. For an extra, you have to get an extra license. If you are a technician that has expired, then your license exam for that technician license will be March 21st, 1987. Test was the same as the general test. They only had words per minute for the tech, 15 words per minute for some kind of a credit. What you have to do is take the current technician exam. Tech, then you will be credited the general class element, the general class test that they were giving at that time. Back to that, W2K.
Okay. Very good. Anybody else have any questions for Don? Okay, Don, thank you very much. God bless. Alrighty, I guess our next one is Steve, WI2W, with a few comments. KTBAR, it's your ball, sir. I think that was another station trying to come in, but you weren't quite making it, sir. I'm sorry. We'll try again.
Okay, my question is,
no, you're not. No, you're not, Steve.
Is this any better?
Yeah, can you improve that a little bit more before you make any announcements?
This is as good as it's going to get, so tell me if it's worth talking or not.
That's perfect. Whatever you did that last one, keep doing it.
Okay, so quickly, Portable Day for Barra was a lot of fun. We had... and Gordon, you were there. We had seven stations set up, and we had 28 Barra members in total. A beautiful day, no bugs, no clouds in the sky, 70 degrees. It was just a real pleasure. I really enjoyed the day. So that's number one. Number two, we have the HamFest coming up on May 30th, Saturday. That's a week from this coming Saturday. So come on out and have some fun. And lastly, our monthly Barra meeting, which will be on Sunday, June 7th. We have a presentation by Woody, AK2F, and Roger, NJ2R, I think is his call. And that's going to be on Earth, Moon, Earth. And I have seen a previous iteration of that talk. It's really quite interesting. They've got some nice pictures. And you'll find out that it really doesn't take a whole lot of gear to do Earth, Moon, Earth these days, like it used to years ago. It's a very, very good talk, very well put together, and I strongly urge you to come out and hear it if you have any interest in EME at all.
even if it's something that might be on your bucket list like it is on mine. And that's it, K2BAR, WI2W.
It's awesome. Anybody have any questions or comments regarding these announcements from Steve? Randy?
I'd just like to encourage people to go to the Woody and Rogers presentation on EME. They gave a version of this at Fair Lawn a couple of months ago, and I was completely blown away. I mean, they did a first-rate, professional-quality presentation, but the content was absolutely fascinating. I mean, I went into this thing knowing absolutely nothing about it, and was very curious how people could bounce radio signals off the moon and hear them. And they did a wonderful job of explaining it all and how one could set up a station and communicate with hams across the planet via EME with a very modest station. So if you have an opportunity, you have the time at the Barra meeting, I strongly recommend going. You will definitely get something out of it. Back to Ned.
Yeah, let me also point out that you'll get something out of it that will include things you can apply to your day-to-day ham environment. You know, a lot of the techniques that are used for moon bounce have everyday application in just optimizing the performance of your station. Whether that station is something you take to the park or something that you have in your house or whatever, I mean, it's quite an adventure. Alrighty. So, anybody else? Check in. Check in, go.
K2ZC disconnected. Connected. N2BHZ repeater.
Okay, who was the check-in?
Hey, Gordon, what's happening? It's Ken here. N2VHZ Mobile, Alliance, Nebraska, via Echolink. I'd like to check into the net. I wasn't able to catch the roll call as it went by, so I'm coming in a little late, but I'm here. Back to net control.
Good evening, Ken. We also had Dave by Echolink as well. I heard K2ZC in there, but he dropped off for whatever reason. All right. We'll get you. Ken, do you have any comments or questions later on for the net?
No, I don't know what happened. Maybe it's my internet is kind of getting crazy, but I just wanted to check in officially, add my name to the rolls, because I wasn't here when you went down the list. Sorry. Back to net control.
No, you're fine, Ken. I just said Dave had dropped out, not you. You were fine. Your signal's been solid. All righty, K2ZC, are you with us? K2BAR. All righty. Are there any other stations that would like to check into the net at this time? Well, let me just echo a couple of points here. One is the EME talk is going to be fantastic. I think I may miss it, unfortunately, but we will see, but it's a fantastic talk. And then I think I'll make that one. I'm sorry. What am I saying? In July. I'll make that. Or June. No, June I will miss. I'm sorry. Brain dead. Yes, so I'll miss that. But it's a very good talk, and I've seen it a couple of times, and hope to see it one more time. Maybe the Red Cross if I can convince Woody to do it. He doesn't know. I'm going to ask him yet, though. And then Portable Day. Oh, my Lord. It was a great time. And the weather was absolutely lovely. Really was. Alrighty. So anybody else have anything for Steve regarding Portable Day, the EME talk, etc.? Alrighty. Steve, anything you want to add?
No, that's it, Gordon. And I'm looking forward to the meeting a lot. So see you. guys there. 73, WITW.
Very good, very good. Alrighty, let's see. Our next comment comes from Randy, W2S, K2BAR, your ball.
Okay, thanks, Gordon. Good evening to everyone on the net. A number of things to cover quickly this evening. First is I want to thank Steve, WI2W, for the comment last week on the new technology batteries, the lithium iron phosphate batteries from BioNO Power. I don't know if the reference made it out to the ComTech group, but maybe we can get Steve to post that out there for folks that are interested. I followed up on Steve's comments and was very pleased to see what BioNO Power has to offer, and in fact ordered one so I can get a sense of how well this works. But by comparison to a sealed lead acid battery, say a typical 12 amp hour battery, the lithium iron phosphate battery is half the weight, or equivalently for the same weight, you know you can get about three times as much power out of the thing. So it's pretty neat. The downside, of course, is that it's a more expensive technology. It's approximately five times as expensive as a sealed lead acid battery, and it requires a special charger that the company sells. You cannot use the standard sealed lead acid battery charger, but you know, it's a trade-off. New technology, we'll see how it performs in real conditions, but it's certainly very encouraging. Back to net.
Right. Okay. That is kind of neat. I did want to ask you, what size battery did you order?
Well, I decided to go with a little more capacity than the what has been the standard for me. I've been buying the 12 amp hour batteries, and I've got a box full of them here. In fact, there's always at least four of them under the operating position here in the shack that are connected up to a power gate, so they're charged and ready to go. But I decided to go with a 30 amp hour battery, and the reason I decided to do that is I wanted to see if the extended power capacity would work out well for me, particularly in a mobile situation. And we'll see. So it's actually the 30 amp hour battery is about the same weight, roughly 8 pounds, as a sealed lead acid 12 amp hour battery would be. And in fact, its dimensions, I believe, are slightly smaller. So should be a good fit for a mobile. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, back to net.
Right. And you've got it strapped across a power gate. But to charge it, you have to disconnect it from the power gate, don't you? You can't float charge it, can you?
Yes, that's correct. That's my understanding, that you cannot float charge it across the power gate the way I'm doing with the sealed lead acid batteries. So I'm going to have to figure out an alternative. I mean, you know, the obvious alternative is I have a small AC inverter in the truck, and so that may well supply enough AC power to the appropriate charger for this battery, and then convert it, obviously creating a lot of losses in a system like that. On the other hand, what the heck, you work with what you have on hand.
Yeah, but you're going to have to disconnect it from the load, I think. Well, maybe. It depends on the isolation, I guess. What I would ask the manufacturer or the dealer is if you're allowed to leave the charger attached to the battery while also attaching the load on the load terminals.
Now, that's a good question, and I'm sorry I didn't have the presence of mind to research that ahead of time, but now it's certainly on my list, and that'll be one of the first things I look into. There may well be information on that on the in the reference material on the website, so I'm going to look there right after the net, and if it's not there, then I think a quick email to the company would probably get the answer we're looking for.
Yeah, okay. Very, very good. Anybody else have any questions or comments on this?
WI2W.
Steve.
So a couple of things. With a 12-amp sealed lead acid battery, you can draw about 6 amp hours out of it before the voltage gets too low for your amateur radio equipment. Of course, you can hook up a boost regulator to it and get a little bit more life out, but I found you can get about half the capacity out of a typical sealed lead acid battery. With the BioNO lithium iron phosphate batteries, you can draw the full amp hour amount out before it falls off a cliff, and the voltage stays constant throughout the majority of its discharge. So you'll get a lot of life out of that 30-amp-hour battery, Randy. Good luck with it. Another way to charge the battery, of course, you can use the charger that BioNO Power sells, which is relatively inexpensive, $10 or $20, depending on which charger. What I have is one that's made for the hobby remote control market, and you can buy those for as little as $25 from Hobby King. And they have the ability to charge many different chemistries, lithium iron, phosphate, lithium ion, lithium polymer, lead acid, nickel metal hydride, just by changing menu items. You can hook that up to your 12-volt car, and it will boost the voltage up to charge the lithium iron phosphate. So the lithium iron phosphate batteries are constant current, constant voltage, and the maximum voltage on them is 14.6 volts. One of the neat parts about the ones from BioNO is they have a circuit board inside that protects the battery from over-discharge, from overcharge, and also if you leave the charger on for an extended period of time, it balances the cells, which gives you very long life out of them. So I've been very happy with mine. I've had it for probably 18 months, and I drag it in and out of the car, and in fact it's sitting on the table here powering this HD up. So that's it. Back to Ned. KCBAR, WI2W.
Alrighty. So we, I actually have the website listed. Is this the right one? This is Bravo. No, it's clearly not. It's not BioNO.com, is it?
BioNOPower.com.
Okay. There we go. I knew there was something I was missing because there's another company called BioNO. And, yeah, I found it now. It's all good. I will put that in the ComTech group listing for tonight so that way it'll find its way up there. So the URL for that will be in your email if you sign up for the ComTech group. That's Charlie, Oscar, Mike, Tango, Echo, Charlie, Hotel, Golf, Romeo, Oscar, Uniform, Papa. ComTech group. That's the group name. And again, if you get lost on that one, W2TangoTangoTango@att.net and att.com. You'll catch me one way or the other. Anybody else have any questions about the BioNO Power batteries? Hey, Steve, I just want to mention that Randy was extolling the virtues of your comments about the battery last week. And I said, hey, yeah, and as a reminder, you should check out the website because they have bigger ones than the one Steve has. And, you know, Randy took the bait and bought the bigger battery. And there's even bigger ones. I mean, they have them at 100 ampere hour. I mean, and it's pretty much a linear cost curve, guys. So, you know, have money, you can buy power, and have it amazingly light. You know, I think we said about half the weight, so it's pretty amazing. And a lot more stable than the A123 packs that some of us have been messing with. And well worth the improvement. Alrighty. Anything else you want to add to this, Steve?
Well, just that I wouldn't give the A123 batteries a bad rap. They're a very similar chemistry, lithium iron nanophosphate, so the particles are much smaller in the A123 brand, and the advantage is you can draw like 60 times the capacity in terms of current, so you can source very, very high currents with those batteries. They're very rugged. They're also a bit on the pricey side. It is a proprietary technology, and only A123 iron nanophosphate batteries. But they're very good too. In fact, I just picked up a couple of those for a different application. Small, just 1100 mils capacity. Gordon, with regard to your Buddy Paul pack, I think that was a fluke. I really do.
Yeah, well. Fluke or not, boy, it was pretty exciting. Steve is referring to, and I didn't raise it, but he knew I was going to. We had a little incident where a pack had been sitting on my desk for a month, just sitting there, just all by itself, all good, nothing beating on it. I walked in the shack, and Bill, KB2OCJ, and I had just brought up a short rack, short Motorola rack, you know, about maybe 5 feet into the shack, and boom, 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 up it went, and blah, blah, blah. I said, oh, by the way, you might be interested in this, and I handed him the module, the power module I have, and he said, you know, this is getting hot. And I go, what do you mean it's getting hot? He hands it back to me. I said, no, it's not, and I handed it back to him, and he goes, yes, it is. And all of a sudden, I noticed smoke coming off the top of the pack as he hands it back to me, at which point I took it in my hand and ran down the stairs with Bill coming behind me and got it out onto the deck before it decided to totally incinerate itself. It was very exciting. It might have been an integration issue, who knows, but needless to say, it was it died a spectacular death, and I'm glad to see that that it didn't do it on my ham shack and set the house on fire, but that's just my own opinion. The nature of the pack that Steve and Randy have bought is a little different. That high current output is always an issue with the battery, and it might have just been the way it was built as a pack and not anything related to the chemistry of the batteries, but, you know, neither here nor there. I still think that the packs you guys are buying are pretty snazzy. Alrighty, anybody else on this topic?
Yeah, what?
Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, in general, the lithium iron phosphate batteries do not combust. They not spontaneously combust like lithium ions or lithium polymers do that the renewable folks typically use. Those packs are more energy density and lighter in weight, but I've chosen not to go there because they can catch fire when you're charging them. They sell fireproof bags for charging. This chemistry, lithium iron phosphate, they will not combust. Now, if something caught fire in your battery, I'm guessing there was an internal short in some of the insulation. Maybe on some of the wires or the plastic got too hot. I really think you had a mechanical failure there. If you still have the pack, it'd be interesting to dissect it and do a post-mortem. Lithium iron phosphate is very safe. You can drive a nail through these batteries. You can drop them in water. They may heat up a little bit, but they don't catch fire like the polymer or lithium ion batteries do. Back to that.
As I said, the the ferrous oxide ones you guys have. You can drive a nail through it, and life is grand. Can't argue with that. You know, that's kind of my robustness standard. So, you know, I have that other pack, and I don't even know where the charger is for it right now. I really should find it, because it'd probably do well to get rid of it and replace it with something else. I mean, it's a brand new pack. Get one of the LiFOs, the ones you guys have, or LiFEs, I should say. Those are the LiFOs. Alrighty. Randy, any more from you?
A couple of items. The next item is construction tip. I haven't done a construction article in a few months now. I apologize for being remiss. Actually, I don't know that I've done a construction article this year yet at all. So even though I've been working on things, I haven't really posted anything. So I wanted to make a brief comment about something I'm doing actually right now. I was doing just before the net, and I'm mounting some IP cameras to some mounts, and was looking for a way to actually mount them to various masts or poles. And what I finally settled upon after doing some research is a product that's used by portable lighting folks, and largely it appeals to the DJ, the disc jockey market folks that set up lighting and music and maybe, you know, small performances. Anyway, it's an O-clamp, and it comes in three sizes, and it's by a company called American DJ, that's Delta Juliet, and I've got these mounted to a box. They're a fairly inexpensive product. That's the one I have in front of me has a removable insert, so it will clamp around either a 1.5-inch mast, or with the insert removed, a 2-inch mast. And the whole unit is about $7. So a very modest price, but I've mounted three or four of these now, and it's turning out to be a real nice product. At some point here in the near future, I'll post the construction article on my website. Back to net.
Very nice, Randy. I'm at the AmericanDJ.com parts website. I don't see it, but maybe I need to look at the full products. Any guidance as to where I can find it on their website?
Yes. Let's see. I'm reading the very fine print here on the box. And their website on the box says www.alphadeltajuliet.com. So try that. Although when I purchased it on Amazon, they show up as American DJ. So who knows? They probably have several aliases for their business. Back to net.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I got. Let me just try to sort through that out real quick. All right. Yeah, so I went to www.adj.com. Now, that doesn't seem to work. American DJ does seem to work, but that particular part does not show up on their products list, which is kind of bizarre, but already. They have some LED lighting products that are pretty cool, actually. And they have, portable light stands. Maybe I'll find it under that. Under that. No, unfortunately not. They do have some interesting things there, but you saw it on Amazon?
Yeah, that's right. I was looking on Amazon for portable lighting systems and portable lighting clamps, and they have this product called O-clamp, So maybe if you look on Amazon for that, you'll stumble across it. I mean, I literally stumbled across it with no trouble at all.
I found it. It's $4.95.
I think that was one of them, and I think there was another one that was $6.95, if I recall. That there were a couple of sizes, so you want to look for that. But the $4.95 one, I think, is the one that fit around 1-inch diameter, poles or masts.
Probably, I did find it. The one that's both inch and a half and 2 inches. Yep. I got it. I found the Amazon reference. I've included that in the notes for tonight. It's very, very good. Thank you for that. Anything else, Mr. Randy?
Can't get past me without a mesh-related comment. Earlier this evening, just before the net started, Mark, N2MH, called me and said that he had his relay connected back to his radio, and it was tuned to this repeater. And so what I could do, and what I did do, is I used my voice over IP phone that's connected to my mesh here, that via a tunnel set up to Mark's PBX at his location, so my phone's recognized by his system, and then with the proper command, I'm able to activate his radio and talk via RF from his radio, wherever that's located, across to this repeater, and we were able to do that successfully. Oh, in fact, I hear the phone ringing right now. Hold on, let me answer it.
K2ZC disconnected.
Yeah, I can't demonstrate it on the while Gordon's on the phone, but I can dial into the Mark's thing and get on the net that way if you give me a moment.
Hello, this is Randy talking to you via my voice over IP phone and Mark's N2MH transmitter to the Chestnut Ridge repeater.
Hey, you sound pretty good, to say the least. Sound very good, actually. It's pretty neat. So you're using a phone, and you're using the touchtone pad to transmit, put it in transmit and receive. And then you're connecting to Mark's BeagleBone IP interface to his radio, which is dialed up to the repeater, so he just basically provides access to the repeater via whoever dials into that extension. And away we go.
Yep, that's it. I'm back on the radio here, on the ICOM radio, because I'm not well practiced, as I explained to Mark before. I haven't quite matriculated yet. I need some more practice with the things. You know, you forget. I guess the thing that is easy to forget is that when you're done transmitting, you have to push the pound key on the telephone keypad to put yourself back in receive mode. Otherwise, you're just carrying the thing across. Oh, there's the phone again.
Hello there, Randy. I figured I'd just let people hear this end of the world. So go ahead.
Obviously now we're talking via voice over IP phones across our local mesh nets, and then via a tunnel across the internet from my location to yours.
That's correct, and it works extraordinarily well. To be blunt, I mean, it really does. Alrighty. Any further comments from you for tonight?
Yes, just one. Let me get back on the radio, though. I'm getting this echo.
No problem.
So final comment, and again, I thank the net for their patience with my verbosity this evening, but a lot of stuff going on recently, which is really kind of cool. So last night there was a Bergen County Racies meeting at the Fairlawn Community Center, and it was interesting meeting the folks there, and got to hear from Stan about all the progress that's been made in that organization over the last approximately 12 months. So there's been a lot of changes. Now, it, to me, it's all new since I've never been connected with it, but with the encouragement by Carl, W2KBF, and Gordon, I started getting interested in Racies and what they're doing and what they plan to do, so I thought I would attend. And I'm frankly very happy that I did. It was interesting meeting the folks, listening to what they've accomplished in the last 12 months, what they plan to do, and as a result, I plan on joining and participating in the organization, seeing what I can contribute to emergency communications here in Bergen County and the surrounding areas. So if you're considering that sort of community service, I would encourage you to look them up and get in touch with them and see if that's something that might be right for you. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, back to net.
Yeah, I'm going to point out that it's kind of not your grandfather's Racies anymore, so that's a good thing as well. So do keep that in mind, and we'll go from there. Let's see. Anything else, Mr. Randy, or anybody have any comments for Randy first, actually? All right, Mr. Randy.
Well, that's it. Quite a bit this evening. Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for the time, and I hope some of you found some of this informative. Back to net control.
All righty. Thank you, Randy. Let's see, Mitch, you might have a question. K2BAR.
Yeah, KM4GHN. If anyone is familiar in the cellular world technology of RF, I do have a rural mountain location in Virginia. I want to basically outfit a repeater slash booster, whatever you want to call it, kind of in the prosumer range. I'd want the receive antenna about 40 feet above my home with the transmit to cover about 4 acres. If anybody has any suggestions, you can just email KiloMike4, Golf Hotel November, KM4GHN at gmail.com.
Well, if you have 4 acres that are and your tower site is relatively centrally located, you could actually take the a stock like, well, AT&T markets them or as a micro cell, but you can get those for about $100. Just you plug it into your internet connection, and away you go. I mean, in your case, I mean, it's meant to be indoors, but you could put it in a plastic, like a 1 foot NEMA 3R box, and strap it to the side of the tower. It'll be fine. Just, you know, keep it out of the weather, and you know, maybe run a lightning arrestor on your Ethernet cable, but. Yeah, that'll work amazingly well and probably light up your whole neighborhood, as it were, just fine if you put it 40 feet in the air, in a fields and forest type environment. It's 3G. I think they have a new one for LTE. I'm not real sure off the top of my head, but they had a microcell product for 3G, and for most cellular, that's fine for voice. If you want data, it'll also support it, but... in what I'll call the 3G and a half mode, but what AT&T calls 4G, but not LTE. That works. Verizon has a similar product. Sprint has one, but by gosh, they have to have one because they have no coverage.
Yeah, actually, this is a project I'm going to do about 8 to 10 months from now. I'm not in a hurry, just starting. A lot of info on the web. Not my area of expertise. So I'm simply looking at something that can cover the 4 acres. I guess something that's going to last about 20 years. I guess probably more like a smart signal booster, some people are calling it. Cover data and digital and LTE and a lot of, maybe a few different formats. But you can just send that info, send me an email, or I don't mean to, this to be on the net discussion. KM4, Kilo Mike 4 Golf Hotel, November. Website is at gmail.com.
All right, Mitch. K4GHN. KM4GHN, sorry. W2TGT. Well, a couple of things. One is, you don't want to use one of those boosters, you know, in other than a very contained space. Putting them outdoors will get you, eventually someone will knock on your door and say, remove it, and they'll hand you a letter that says your next letter will be from the FCC, and you don't really want that. We do this all the time. I will check with a friend of mine who works in the part of the business that roots these things out when they cause troubles, and see if I can find you another pass forward. But in all honesty, none of this technology lasts 20 years, both spectrally and otherwise. Let's consider this. We are about to see in this calendar year the phase out of 2G, and by next year, most if not all 2G, at least from AT&T and Verizon, I don't know about Verizon, they may be a little lagging because of other issues, but I know AT&T and a few others, so that 2G traffic will be bye-bye, because we want to refarm the spectrum for LTE and deliver more service to more users. Using the same bandwidth, you know. But I will be happy to send you a note. Meantime, if anyone else wants to send you a note, it's KiloMike4 Golf Hotel November at gmail.com. Anything else?
KM4GHN, I'll just throw it back to the net. Thank you. Got a little time to suss this one out, so no rush. I guess I should have said 7-8 years. Or maybe today, 5 years. Thanks. Go back to that.
Yeah, I actually wonder whether or not in, say, 5-6 years, we'll see, you know, sunsetting of 3G. I'm actually not privy to any of that right now, but the 2G is publicly announced, so it is what it is. It's kind of neat. I remember when that was all new, and I had an analog phone before that, so go figure. Alrighty, let's see, we got through everybody, I think. Oh, I have something for the net. I have a couple of things for the net. One is, if you like ice cream, and you like ham radio, and you like to have little containers for parts and stuff, even containers for small projects, like a Raspberry Pi, an entire Raspberry Pi with a daughter board and maybe all sorts of stuff inside to go with it, in a clear plastic container with a solid lid. You go to the grocery store and you look at the Talenti Gelato containers. Number one, you get Talenti Gelato, which is a fancy way of saying really expensive, yummy ice cream, okay, in a pint, and it's a real pint. You know, it's not a pretend pint, like what's happening with the, the Häagen-Dazs, which no longer is a pint. But they give you a 3.5-inch diameter by 4-inch high round container, clear plastic. It's got some writing on it, but I think, you know, probably some nail polish remover could make that go away. And then a brown lid. And for those of us who've used, you know, baby food jars that, you know, and things like that. And some of us would even either nail or screw a baby food jar lid to a shelf, and then we would turn around and take the container and screw it up into the lid, which is now, you know, let's say nailed or screwed into a board or a shelf, and then we can have hanging parts containers that you can see the parts in there. Well, this is sort of like that, except, you know, baby food jars aren't baby food jars the way they used to be anymore, and you may not have babies in the house and want to eat baby food, but by God, everybody wants to eat ice cream. So Talenti containers are really good. T-A-L-E-N.
Repeater. Timeout. Clear.
I apologize. I was waxing poetically about this. So how far did I go? Randy, how far did I go?
T-A-L, and as it died off, is when you found out.
Sorry, when did I die out, Don?
You said Talenti, and then you spelled it T-A-L, and then that's where it stopped, and you forgot the name of that company, over.
Okay, so it was right at the end. Tango Alpha Lima, Echo November, Tango India, Talenti Gelato. In your grocer's freezer, oh my lord, the best parts container and one of the best ways to get it. One thing I will say is don't use overly hot water when you actually go to clean them. They're really easy to clean, just a standard detergent and warm water is fine. But when you go to clean them, if you use, you know, really hot water, it'll actually deform them. But the containers are really, really robust. In fact, they are BPA-free and pretty robust. I've actually put food in them, other foods, and thrown it in my backpack and had my lunch out of it and things like that. Really, really good stuff. But it's a great container, and I will take a picture of it and include it in the notes tonight. It'll be in your ComTech group email. Anybody have any comments?
382 ISC.
Yes. Bob, WA2ISC, go ahead.
Okay, I had a comment. I was wondering, not with the ice cream containers, but the previous topic, a guy wanting to extend his cell phone use. I was wondering, like, couldn't he just use Wi-Fi and use that to connect to the internet? A lot of cell phones can work through Wi-Fi connection.
Certainly could. I don't know. I mean, that might be a better way of doing it, and just setting up a voice over Wi-Fi type arrangement. You could certainly do that. Mitch, would that be something you'd like to do, or did you have a different approach?
Overall goal is to have visitors with various carriers be able to utilize their cell phone in my home and around my home.
Ah, I see. Well, multi-carrier, I mean, there are some devices for that purpose, but boy, you can get into a world of hurt if it's not done right. And, you know, 4 acres is not exactly, you know, your basement apartment, and that's when those things get in trouble.
Might add, it's a very, it's a flood basin area, even though it's in the mountains, it's a flood zone, so it's quite moist. Totally flat area, I think propagation would be excellent. Receiving the signal is the main issue.
Okay, yeah, I can imagine. Alrighty. I was just saying that probably on a monthly basis we have several cases where we're knocking on devices, owners' doors and saying, knock it off. And because it's so easy to do it wrong.
I've done my homework online before I jumped on the net. I hear you, Gordon. Thanks. Back to net, final.
Yeah, just, you know, Bob's popping in now. I don't know how much of the whole thing he heard, but yeah, that's what I emphasize for people, that like, this is not just not for the faint of heart, but it may be more aggravation than it's worth. You know, the quote, good devices are not cheap, and a good device may be